the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Monday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth with us today. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and David Dawson. Hey, guys. Happy Monday.
Hello, it is. How are you doing?
It is beautiful weather out there, Damian. It's just getting better and better.
Yes.
I know there's something coming, too, because I saw it in the long-range forecast. You going to talk about that later?
Sure.
Okay.
Sure. Dave thinks I create the weather.
I
like that.
I do. You did a good job today, Damian.
Well, good.
You did
I appreciate your accolades there.
But you know what we
like
won't talk
painting.
About today?
What's that?
Football. So let's just move on.
Okay. Yeah. If we want to stay in a good mood, we won't talk
exactly
about football.
Right.
Unless you're a Southern and Tulane fan.
There you go. Tulane. Yeah. Okay.
Some winners out there. Today is the feast day of the Guardian Angels. And what better way to start our show this morning than with the Guardian Angel prayer that we all learned when we were children. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God loves, commit me here. Ever this day be at my side, to light and guard, to rule and guide.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
And you got a gold star. You heard that?
No, yeah, that little bing.
Yeah.
Angel got its wings.
Thank you, Jeff.
An angel got its wings.
Oh. Oh, my gosh. Well, congratulations. That's great news. We will learn more about our saint of the day later on in today's show. We are starting off with some events in our listening area. We will give you details about at 10 after. All of these events can be found at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Lonnie Thibodeau joins us. He's the Director of Media and Public Relations for the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux. Today, he'll be giving us an update on what the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux is up to for the month of October. In 35 minutes, Alan Migliorato joins us. He's a co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And every Monday, we discuss raising Catholic teens in today's world. It is always a fun and entertaining conversation with Alan. I look forward to it every Monday. Yeah. So looking forward to that conversation. And in 48 minutes, Dr. Jem Sullivan joins us. She is a professor and author of the book called Sacred Art, Every Catholic Should Know. So we're looking forward to these wonderful guests. And tomorrow starts our pledge drive, our fall pledge drive from 7 to 10 a.m. Live guests every hour to help us raise money, Damian, to keep our studios on the air. Can't believe
it
starts tomorrow.
Yes, it's always a fun 3 days. And we hope you'll be tuning in and helping us out along the way. And hopefully everyone enjoyed the weekend, despite the outcome of some of the football games, at least Tulane and Southern one, as I mentioned earlier. This week, well, we'll really be the winners when it comes to the weather. So
all
that's
right.
How we have to look at it.
What do I want
Sunny
to hear?
Skies, nice breeze out there out of the northeast at about 10 to 15 miles an hour, really making it pleasant. Low humidity, high 91 expected today. The low tonight, 68.
Yes.
Should be that way for the entire week. In fact, when we get to Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be even cooler. So we have that cool front coming our way. It'll take a few days to get here, but it'll be here. Temperatures in and around the area, New Orleans, it's 74. Gulfport, it's 70 degrees. Elsewhere, Houma-Thibodaux reporting 73 degrees. In Covington, it's 66. And in the capital city, Baton Rouge, it's 67 degrees. So really nice out there. Get out there and enjoy it while you can. And again, little to no rain in the forecast. 20% coming up on Thursday, maybe a 30% chance of rain on Friday. But that's it. It'll be dry
that's the
after
cold front, huh?
That. Yes, prior to the cold front. Mm-hmm. All right. It's 5 after on this Monday morning, October 2nd. Stick around. We're just getting started. Gospel's coming your way next on Wake Up.
blessed memorial of the guardian angels, today's gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 18. The disciples approached Jesus and said, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child over, placed it in their midst, and said, "Amen, I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven, and whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
The ambitious apostles were concerned about the greatest in the kingdom, which revealed their tendency to imbibe the poison of self-importance. Their question was probably provoked by the promises Jesus gave to Peter and the fact that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain to witness his transfiguration. So this question indicates an unholy competition among the apostles. They clearly were in a fog about the true nature of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus patiently gave them another lesson in the importance of humility by reversing the definitions of great and small. He overturns their comfortable definitions that flowed from their egos and the values of this world. Therefore, Jesus opposed the delusion of self-reliant adults with a spontaneous trust and helplessness of unspoiled children who are utterly dependent on others. Jesus' followers must become little ones, like the child Jesus called to them. He was easily available to others and responded readily to Jesus' call because he was not encumbered with the weighty concerns of self-interest and business. This little one, like all little ones, considered that everyone else must be greater than he, if he thought about it at all. We can only imagine the apostles' shock and dismay on hearing Jesus' words, "Unless you turn and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So forget about this greatness stuff." In other words, greatness is not even part of the consideration. It's also a shock to us if we are filled with self-importance. Spiritual children see themselves as needy and helpless, and therefore they easily free fall into Jesus' protective arms by the total submission of themselves. So how do we view ourselves? As helpless little ones or as big people in control? Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy Sagers, and also Father Chris Decker. Dave's having a moment here.
A snort laugh going on there.
Yeah, he's fine, though, folks. Trust me.
Okay, it's a good day.
He's excited because coming up tomorrow at 7 o'clock at the main hall at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Denham Springs, they're having a scientific evaluation of Eucharistic miracles presentation, and it is phenomenal. You're invited to experience a journey through the scientific evaluation of five recent studied Eucharistic miracles and how those findings affect our faith as Catholics. And again, Dr. Amy Goodyear is going to do the talk. She's an active member at St. George Parish Catholic Church and resides in Baton Rouge. For more information, go to our website. And one addition to that, they're also going to have on display Eucharistic Miracles of the World. That's coming up this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, also at Immaculate Conception Church in the main hall. It's all day. Again, all the details are at our website, but you want to go do that. It's a self-guided tour, and you can learn a lot more about Eucharistic Miracles at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church in Denham Springs this week.
I've been to Dr. Goodyear's presentation. It is really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is fantastic.
Very informative.
I highly recommend it. You will be impressed and you'll be convinced, too. Learn the basic Catholic principles for reading Scripture and to survey the broad outlines of the books of the Bible and their place in the story of salvation. You can opt to take a class
on Tuesday or Wednesday from 10 a.m. to noon at the Melanson Center at St. Catherine of Siena Catholic Church in Metairie. At register for $24 by October 3rd at scschurch.com/Bible study or go to ccmedia.live for more information.
Yes, Hope and Purpose Ministries is excited to invite you to the Catholic Charismatic Eucharistic Revival Conference. The theme this year is Revive Us Again, and it's going to take place on October 14th from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Divine Mercy Parish in Kenner. Keynote speakers include Johnette Williams from EWTN, Terry Quinn, Evangelist Father William Mumphrey, Deacon Larry Oney, Andy Oney, and music by John Finch. The cost is $45 per person. You can go to ccmedia.live for more details.
And if you're looking to attend a men's Acts retreat, here's your opportunity. November 30th through December 3rd, the Men's Acts Retreat will be held at the Archdiocesan Retreat Center in Metairie, beginning at 5:45 p.m. on Thursday, November 30th. Conclude on Sunday, December 3rd at 11 o'clock with a Mass at St. Catherine Siena. The retreat includes lodging for single occupancy rooms, all your meals, all supplies, and great fellowship and an opportunity to really come to know Christ. For more information, go to our website.
And there's a free concert. It's featuring Lorraine Hess. We love Lorraine here. Mm-hmm. We've had some of her CDs that we've given away and such. She's really, really good. It's going to take place at Dominican High School Tuesday, November 7th at 7 p.m. Lorraine will be singing songs from her latest CD just released entitled Veritas. For more information, go to LorraineHess.com. Veritas. We need a lot of Veritas around here. Mm-hmm. That's truth.
There is... Yes. Yeah, okay. There is forgiveness, hope, and peace after an abortion. If you or someone you love is hurting from an abortion or miscarriage, there is help. Consider attending the faith-based Rachel's Vineyard Healing Retreat. All faiths are welcome, and it's open to women and men. Healing the pain of abortion one weekend at a time. This retreat is November 3rd through the 5th, and registration is $195, but there is financial assistance available. For more information, you can go to our website at ccmedia.live.
All right. Thank you, Gabby and Dave, and thank you all for listening to Catholic Community Radio. After all, we are trying to get you to understand the truth. That's
Very
right.
Nice.
Yeah, you bet. Mm-hmm. And also, thank you for watching us on Catholic Life TV in Baton Rouge as well. Okay, coming up next, you're going to learn about our Saints of the Day, which is actually our guardian angels. And also, Lonnie Thibodeau is going to be with us.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for October 2nd. Today we celebrate the guardian angels. All parents can take comfort in the belief that an angel protects their little ones from dangers, real and imagined. Yet guardian angels are not just for children. Their role is to represent individuals before God, to watch over them always, to aid their prayer, and present their souls to God at death. The concept of an angel assigned to guide and nurture each human being flows from Scripture. Jesus' words in Matthew's Gospel best support the belief. See that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that their angels in heaven always look upon the face of my heavenly Father. Devotion to the angels began to develop with the birth of the monastic tradition in the Church. Saint Benedict gave it impetus in the 6th century. Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, the great 12th century reformer, was such an eloquent spokesman for guardian angels that devotion to them spread in the very form it has to this day. Today's feast is an expression of faith in God's enduring love and providential care extended to each of us day in and day out until life's end. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour, you're turning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collado and Gabby Smith. And right now we have Lonnie Thibodeau joining us, the Director of Media and Public Relations for Houma Thibodeau Diocese, with an update. Good morning, Lonnie.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing, my friend?
Fine. How are things down on the bayou?
things are good. You know how it is down here because you know us well. For such a little diocese, we always got something going on.
Yeah, you're always blowing and going down there. And you know, it was interesting. I was still going through that last publication of the Bayou Catholic, and I'm still amazed at the magazine and how it has all the mass times listed and such. And it's such a variety. It's such a rich, well put together publication. It just amazes me. Damien, they got a recipe in there for you'd like this stuffed zucchini boats. It's an Italian recipe for stuffed zucchini boats. All right. You got to check that out.
Yeah. You've never had it. Have you had a stuffed zucchini boat?
I have not. Have you? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, check it out.
Yeah, my Aunt Teresa.
All right.
She can make a stuffed zucchini.
Lonnie, we'll get to you later. We're talking. No, I'm kidding. What's going on down there, Lonnie?
Well, you know, it's interesting, David, you bring up Bayou Catholic, and typically when I'm on here every month, the main thing I'm talking about is what's in the latest issue of the Bayou Catholic. And, of course, as I mentioned a couple of months ago, we've got a little bit of a change. We're changing the distribution a little bit for that magazine where we're not necessarily coming out every month now. What we're doing is we're going to a distribution schedule that's more based not on the calendar month, but rather on the liturgical season. So therefore, our next issue, which will be coming out a little over a month, will be an Advent issue, and then we will have a Christmas issue, and then we will come back with a Lent issue, and then an Easter issue, and then, so that's kind of what we're doing. So we're going to go to basically about six or so issues a year. So again, nothing technically new to talk about in the Bayou Catholic in this conversation, because we're still probably a little over a month away from the next issue coming out.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have just as much information as you always have, but at the same time, you're just guiding us through our liturgical year, our seasons that we're going through. Probably just make them a little more rich and probably making it a little more available to pick up as we go through these liturgical seasons, right?
Exactly. And the magazine for the 43 years of the magazine has always been newsy and informative and previewing events and stuff. And look, that's not necessarily going to go away, but there's just going to be a little bit more emphasis, Dave, on you know, enriching our lives, enriching our hearts, and touching your heart in a faith-filled way. And that's kind of, again, getting in touch and having a theme, if you will, of each issue being whatever liturgical season is either with us at that point or is about to is kind of what we're doing.
All right. Wonderful. You have a Red Mass coming up and a St. Luke Mass as well. Talk about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we're at that time of the year, Dave, where we have the Red Mass, the Blue Mass. We had our Blue Mass last week.
Okay.
That's the one for EMTs and police and firefighters.
First responders.
And that was very well attended. And one thing we do in Home of Thibodeau, again, one of the many unique things about our diocese, because we're a hyphenated diocese, Home of Thibodeau, and a co-diocese, you might have noticed one of the big Catholic news stories last week is for the first time ever, England has its first co-diocese. In England, I mean, who would have figured that the first time ever in that country's history, they now have a situation where they have what Home of Thibodeau has. So what we do every year is, again, St. Francis de Sales Cathedral in Houma, St. Joseph Co-Cathedral in Thibodeau.
Right.
What we do is we alternate years where all of these big liturgical masses that we do during the year, like Red Mass, Blue Mass, Chrism Mass, one year they're at St. Joseph Co-Cathedral, which was last year, and this year, 23, we're at St. Francis Cathedral in Houma, just to kind of keep it straight where we're supposed to be. So anyway, the Blue Mass was at St. Francis in Houma last week. The Red Mass is coming up next Wednesday, October the 11th. That Mass, of course, is for attorneys and judges. And as you well know, today, literally today, is the new nine-month session for the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
It always starts that first Monday in October. So the Red Mass is usually scheduled right at the very beginning of October. So the Red Mass is coming up next Wednesday, October 11th, 12 noon, St. Francis Cathedral in Houma, and the public is obviously invited. Now, the St. Luke Mass, I have a quick distinction on that.
Mm-hmm.
That is what we used to know as the White Mass.
Okay.
The White Mass is for medical professionals.
Ah, okay. And now it's called the St. Luke Mass?
Right. The official name now, at least here in the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux for the past 3 years, is the St. Luke Mass for Medical and Mental Health Professionals.
Okay.
Now, let me just clarify one other thing. That is not one singular Mass at the cathedral like we do with the Red Mass and the Blue Mass. What we do there is we allow each of our 39 church parishes to host their own Mass, do it in whichever way they want for their doctors, their nurses, all of their people in the medical and mental health field. And so what we do is we give them the option of either the weekend of October 14th and 15th or the weekend of October 21st, 22nd. Because you know how it is, Dave. It's hard to say that on October 14th, we're going to have a Mass at St. Francis Cathedral for all the doctors and nurses.
Right. Right.
At 9 o'clock.
Yes.
We sure hope you can make it.
You're right.
That's tough.
Chances are.
Just don't take ill at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, well, especially in that profession, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, right. They're working night shifts,
day shifts.
You get sick
at 9 o'clock, you got to wait longer than you normally
you
would.
No, that's a great idea. Yeah. Well, okay. All right. Now, I was going to ask you, Lonnie, as far as the proximity of the cathedrals to each other, because y'all are you're splitting things up between the cathedrals. I mean, they're not that far apart from each other, are they?
No. People who know our area know they're, 15 minutes
exactly
away from each other, maybe 20.
Right.
You know, so they're not that far away. And we're one of them. In fact, incredibly enough, when I heard the England story last week, I thought, how many hyphenated dioceses do we have in America? You know, we have around 200 or so dioceses and archdioceses, and I want to say there was 10 or 12.
I didn't know that. I really
lot. Yes.
Okay.
There are not many, and remember, that's from our founding in June of 1977. Mm-hmm. We were a hyphenated co-diocese from day one when we were formed out of the Archdiocese in New Orleans in June of 1977. So that's a little trivia about our diocese.
Are they calling y'all for lessons on how does that work? Are they doing that?
Well,
your
course.
Consultants.
We tend
to know, here at Houma Thibodaux, we tend to know everything, and we are very proud to let you know that.
Okay, now you
that's
got
a joke.
You got another Mass coming up on October 22nd. This is special, too. Talk about that.
Yeah, that's our annual diocesan marriage anniversary Mass, where what we do is all the married couples in our diocese from our 39 church parishes, beginning with the 25th anniversary. So we celebrate at this Mass people who had their 25th, their 40th, their 50th, their 60th, and then everyone over 60. And so I don't have the list yet because it's still being finalized of who all there is. But I remember last year, our number one was 76 years.
Wow.
It was just one couple from Kramer or Chaffee or something. I mean, it's really impressive. So the one tiny little change about this year's Mass, so I'm glad you asked me about it, Dave, is the last few years, we haven't been doing it as a Mass. We've been doing what we call a liturgy of the word. It's a ceremony that we do at the cathedral, and it will be Sunday, October 22nd, 3 p.m. at St. Francis Cathedral in Houma. But this year, with Bishop Dorsonville, new bishop, I would prefer that to be a Mass again. And I think the married couples probably appreciate that, too.
Yep.
And so we're going back to being a Mass at 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. So again, general public is invited to attend, and it's a beautiful, beautiful, I mean, my wife and I are at 38 right now, so we're looking forward to being 2 years away
there you go.
From being able to go to this again. But we remember like it was yesterday, our 25th.
Wow,
and being at being at that Mass, and it's 13 years ago. I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, it really, really is, and we're excited about it.
No, it's nothing like, especially starting a ceremony or celebration with a Mass. That's so important.
Yeah.
And then you've got changes to the November 9th St. Joseph dinner for the Catholic Foundation.
Yes, I'm glad you asked me about that, too. See, what's important here is Amy Ponson, our executive director of the Catholic Foundation, was on with y'all just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And this is an event she talked about. Well, there's been one little change, a good change, that has happened just since she was on with y'all a couple weeks ago. That event, which is a big fundraising event, is coming up on Thursday, November 9th. It was originally at Thibodaux Regional Health System at the hospital in Thibodaux. Well, they have sold out.
Oh.
They sold out. So what they've done as of last week, they have changed the location State University, the big cotillion ballroom in the Nicholls State University student union in Thibodaux.
Okay.
And now it gives us some additional seating, another 100 or so seating. Again, it's technically sold out now, but we now have some more tickets available. But seating is limited, and that event is coming up again on Thursday, November the 9th,
okay,
at the Nicholls State University Cotillion Ballroom. It's called the St. Joseph Dinner in support of the Catholic Foundation of South Louisiana.
Nicholls State, that's what we want to say. Your phone's been going in and out, so at least we got that information. No, and look, to have the thing sold out, it's a wonderful problem to have. So, hey, Lonnie, it's good talking to you again. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate this, and we'll be calling you soon for more updates because you got a lot going on down there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you, my friend.
Great. Take care. It's the bottom of the hour. Once we come back, Alan Migliorato. Damien's going to be talking to Alan, and we got a lot more to learn about teens, we hope. So stay tuned. We'll be right back on Wake Up.
Welcome back to Wake Up. It's 35 after the hour, and it's October 2nd. Happy Monday, everyone. With us now, our regular guest on Monday mornings, Alan Migliorato, co-author of Failing Forward, Leadership Lessons for Catholic Teens Today. And you probably already know that by now because he's with us each week, day in and day out with us. Big Al, interesting topic this morning. Let's focus on it.
Yeah.
What do teens think?
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, hey. What do teens think about the transgender movement? You're working with teens all the time. I want to hear what they're saying to you.
And that's a great way to ask that question, too, is what do teens think? And a lot of times they don't, you know, because they're teenagers. And that's kind of the normal thing to do is not to think until you've acted on something. What I see a lot is that, you know, they've been tolerating something like this whole transgender, all the labels that they get with that, you know, the binary, the non-binary, there's a label for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually I finished writing a book on this called If the Shoe Fits, and I'm trying to get it published. I'm having trouble getting it published because I'm not a doctor, and I talk about some scientific things that are going on in that world, but I'm in youth ministry. And so what happens there is like I have a really unique perspective on this because I do talk with teenagers. Now, today's teenagers seem to accept everything, right? And there's a good thing that comes along with that. There's a good thing that comes along with accepting. Right? That means they welcome everything. But the bad thing is that there's no filter. There's like it's a wide open gate. You know, it's kind of like leaving the doors to your house unlocked and just letting anybody walk in at any time. We've got to be able to discern like what should we allow inside our gates and what should we not allow inside our gates. And some of the things that we need to warn our teens about is that you know, this movement to take away gender completely. And that's really kind of what it is, and I hate to say the word agenda because it can shut off an entire generation when you use that word because they think, you know, they make a conspiracy theorist out of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily about that. It's just that there's beauty in being male and there's beauty in being female. And I'm not talking about the stereotypical things about, you know, okay, well, you have to wear blue or you have to wear pink. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the beauty in the way that we were created from God.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't embrace that very often because we're afraid and we hear terms like toxic masculinity and feminism and we hear these things that can seem really bad, and when we add words to them or toxic feminism, you know, it can hurt us because we're afraid or shamed away from talking about the beauty of being male or the beauty of being female and the unique gifts we have with that. So the best thing that I've been able to do is to just really ask a lot of questions with teens who are experiencing this. And I'm not saying it's going away. I think it's actually growing. That movement is growing. But it's not necessarily the focus as it was before, where, you know, kids would just kind of focus on that. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to dive right into this. And now it's very much just accepted. And so we've got to warn our teens is we don't have to hate people. We don't have to push people away from us, but we also don't have to pretend that we're okay with something that really goes right against the way that we were designed by the Creator.
And exactly.
So that's yeah. that unique, and you know, that's a very unique way of having to approach that.
Right. And this movement kind of started when our teens today were right, maybe even before they were becoming a teen in their early childhood, which is part of the problem, too, I think, with the government stepping in. You know, we as parents are supposed to be the protector of our children. Today being the feast day of guardian angels, we're their guardians, whether we want to admit it or not. And there should be some trust there between the child, the teen, and the parent because of our wisdom, knowledge, and hopefully insightful intuition.
Yeah, and there's a thing, you know, we want to teach our kids to be accepting of everyone.
Yes.
And we should be accepting of everyone, but not everything. And so there's a difference, you know, and Jesus says, go and sin no more, but he doesn't, you know, say, go away from me and don't ever come around me again. Mm. You know, he welcomes the sinners up close to him. Like, he walks with sinners. That's what he was here for, to save them. And he's still here in us. And so, like, we don't have to go and save everybody because that's already been done. But what we do need to do is speak the truth with love. And I see parents usually take one of two approaches to teenagers when they're doing this. They're either, you know, they're going to support them and I'm here for you and I love you no matter what. And they think that means they have to accept the lies that their kids are telling them. I'm no longer a boy or I'm no longer a girl. Mm. You were created that way by somebody, by God, who knows more than we will ever know. And so we have to trust and look into that. What does that mean? Like, why don't you feel that way? Maybe get some counseling. Maybe definitely get some therapy, you know, and a good Catholic counselor, and see how you can help them. But when we accept it, we're not helping our kids, you know. And in my book, I talk about a kid saying, well, Mom, look, I identify as a bird, you know, and so I can fly now. And he jumps off the roof. And the mom, at some point, has to say, no, stop that. You're not a bird. Right. You're not going to fly. Right. You're going to hurt yourself. But we don't, and that's an extreme way to look at it. But I think this calls for an extreme look, you know. This calls for an extreme perspective, because it's scary and it scares parents when they're like, oh my gosh, what is happening? You know, what do I do? And you know, they're so into the computer and they're so into their iPad and so into their phone. Like, I feel like I've lost them, and we haven't lost them, but they are lost. And we can't leave them behind. It's not the lost generation, it's the left behind generation. And so, we've got to start not leaving them behind.
Okay, as part of the acceptance, let's just say, do they understand that it's a mental disorder, or they think God actually made a mistake when he makes male and female?
Well, I mean, it can be both. You know, it's kind of both and. It's that great Catholic answer. It can be both. You know, I mean, they could believe one thing, but it can be part of a mental disorder. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. Like I was saying, that's why I'm having trouble getting somebody to publish that, is because I don't have that background. And I can't answer that question. That's something that only like a counselor or a therapist can really answer. It may be a mental disorder. It may be something. It also may be socially onset. You know, there's Brown University, there's a doctor that came up with the term rapid onset gender dysphoria. That's ridiculous. And that's based on, like, you know, the society and social media and its overwhelming push to be accepting of gender or to gender confusion. And so it's not that that point may not be a mental disorder. It used to be in middle-aged men where we would see most of this gender dysphoria and gender issues, but now it's teenage girls because they're the ones who are really on the social media the most, and there's where we're seeing it. So I think it can be a bit of both, but that's why we need to get our kids to a counselor, a good Catholic counselor, and really have them, you know, kind of break down, like, why are you feeling this way? And I say a good Catholic counselor because, you know, we can just go to whoever our insurance accepts, and not necessarily the best best spiritual direction that our kids should be taking. Mm-hmm.
Why is there such a strong push by our government regarding transgender changing?
I really, when it comes to politics, is my least favorite thing ever, but that and snakes, which I think they kind of go hand in hand.
They go hand in hand,
right?
You're
talking the same thing, yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's a matter of getting the new generation coming up is kind of their very liberal push for the most part, and I think that, you know, it's kind of like padding your votes for the future. You know, like, we want to be in office you know, 10 years from now, we got to start catering to the people who are going to be voting for us. I don't know that it's a real push for them because they have the same point of view. And but that's any politics, right? They're going to have the point of view of the people that have the most votes. And so that's why we need to change our culture. And to change our culture, we have to bring our kids to Christ, because they were made in God's image, right? They're made in God. We were made in God's image. Mm-hmm. And we're male and female for a purpose. And we've got to remind our kids, like, you may not understand it right now. You may be confused about it. But I promise you that life is not all about, you know, your gender. There's more to life than that. So let's concentrate on how you were made beautifully in the image of God as a male or as a female, and move past that and embrace those gifts.
All right, Alan. Yeah, I wouldn't. Time ran out, but I was going to get your opinion as to what you think Jesus would say about all this. But we'll save that for a later date. In the meantime, if you want more information, you can go to AdventureCatholic.com, where Alan Migliorato's website has all the details and more information about raising your teens. Thank you for being with us. We'll chat with you next Monday, Alan.
All right. God bless.
It is 48 past the hour. You are tuning your heart to the truth. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Clotto and David Dawson. Our next guest is Dr. Jem Sullivan. Dr. Jem is an associate professor in the School of Theology and Religious Studies at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and author of the book Sacred Art Every Catholic Should Know. Dr. Sullivan, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Gabby, for having me.
Well, let's talk about sacred art. And if you're watching us on our stream, David Dawson's actually holding it up right now. It's a beautiful book full of wonderful, beautiful pictures. Sacred art. And we're going to dive into this. Dr. Sullivan, take us through these wonderful images and why we should reflect on them as Catholics.
Thank you so much, Gabby, again, for the invitation. You know, beauty is the visible form of truth and goodness. That's what the Catechism tells us. So that when we encounter something that's beautiful, in a way it's a path to encounter the Lord, to encounter Mary, to encounter the saints and the biblical figures of our tradition. So this book, that Sacred Art, Every Catholic Should Know, is really an invitation to kind of go on a pilgrimage of beauty, to discover a selection of sacred art that reflects divine beauty from the vast treasury of masterpieces that have been created by the Catholic Church across 2,000 years. For centuries, we know that the Catholic Church was the principal patron of the arts, a cultural role that is all but lost today. So this book is to help us kind of regain that sense of how the Church over 2,000 years has been conveying, communicating, reflecting, expressing the beauty of the Catholic faith through masterpieces of sacred art.
Dr. Sullivan, I was actually watching a documentary just the other day on the restoration of some sacred art pieces over in Italy, and people travel all over the world to see these images, sometimes not knowing the meaning behind them and how they reflect in our faith, or that they're looking at a sacred image from Catholicism. These are some images that we've seen since we were young children, and some that maybe we are just now being introduced to. Talk about some of the ones that you touch on in this book.
Sure. And you know, you're absolutely right, Gabby, that in many ways, these works of art, sacred works of art from, you know, 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago even, they're actually means of evangelization and catechesis. They're still speaking to people today. That's why they travel. They go, you know, they take a lot of effort to go and see some of these masterpieces, because they're speaking to them somehow, even for people who may not even believe in God. There's some evangelizing power that these works of art have. So in the book, there's about 50 paintings and works of art, masterpieces of art. A lot of them are really focused on the life of Jesus, the life of Mary, the lives of the saints, the biblical figures, the great biblical figures. So, for example, one of my favorites is the Annunciation and Expulsion from Paradise by Giovanni di Paolo, right here in Washington, D.C., in the National Gallery of Art. There's The Crucifixion by Matthias Grunewald, also from the National Gallery of Art. St. Jerome and the Angel, we just celebrated that feast day on Saturday. today's the Feast of the Guardian Angels, and there's a painting of the Guardian Angels. So there's just all of the richness of the Catholic faith as it's now expressed in visual form, in the form of the beautiful, is presented for the reader here. And my hope is, in writing this book, really my hope is that the reader is taken on a kind of pilgrimage to not only understand and to appreciate these beautiful works of art, but through them, most importantly, through them, to come to some deeper love of their faith, to come to some deeper appreciation of who God is and who we are in relationship to God, the love of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit, the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the lives of the saints, who are, you know, the saints are God's masterpieces, right? Mm-hmm. They reflect so beautifully the love of God into the world. And so these works of art that convey something about their life, and then the biblical stories. And they invite us to take our place in the history of salvation by which we are reconciled to friendship with God. So that's what I hope a reader will take away from this book, an experience first of the beauty of faith, and then leading them to a deeper contemplation of the mysteries of our faith as we receive them in scripture and in tradition.
That's a beautiful reflection that you have there. It's so interesting that these artists, some from the Middle Ages, Renaissance, and Baroque, which you touch in this book, are, put these paintings together, probably not knowing that they will still make an impact thousands, hundreds, or thousands of years later. Like we discussed,
yes.
Why is it important for us as Catholics to have maybe some sort of a sacred image in our home or with us as mm-hmm. we maybe do our daily prayers or reflections each day?
Yeah, that's a great question, Gabby. You know, in a sense, the Catechism says beauty is the visible form of truth and goodness. So if we love truth with the truth of our faith, if we seek after goodness in our life, beauty, what is beautiful, is just the visible form of truth and goodness. So it's important to have around us in our homes, in our places of work, even if that's possible, some reminder of the beauty of faith, because that those reminders, visual paintings or sculpture, are really kind of pointing to the truth and goodness of our faith. You know, there's never been a time in the Church's 2,000-year-old history that we do not have some expression of sacred art. Why? Because, as I mentioned earlier, sacred art is a means of catechesis and evangelization. If you think of the magnificent Gothic cathedrals, yeah. I'm sure you have them in Louisiana, beautiful cathedrals. They were places of pilgrimage and prayer. But what you see on the walls, the stained glass windows, the sculpture, mm-hmm. these cathedrals quickly came to be seen as catechisms in stone and stained glass. Because the faithful, when they gathered to pray there, they saw their faith that they were professing in the words of the creed or praying in the words of the Mass. That faith, that same faith, is now expressed in the form of the beautiful.
That's amazing. How did you go about deciding which images that you wanted to be put in this book? Because honestly, there are so many out there and so many beautiful works of art.
Yeah, you know, that was the biggest challenge, I have to say, in this book, because we went back and forth on you know, how do we kind of even select 50 out of so many masterpieces. I think, first of all, I have to say that Tan Books, my editor there, was just excellent support and helping us to do that. The guiding principle, I think, for us was just what are some of the most familiar works that every mm-hmm. Catholic would see, would know of, have maybe even visited, like you mentioned. People go to Europe and or other beautiful places and see these paintings. So what was most familiar, you know, what was most well-known? But then also we were looking for something that really radiates the beauty of our mm-hmm. faith, sacred art that really gives us a sense of the great a gift of faith that we have that comes to us through the Church.
Amazing. Dr. Jem Sullivan, professor and author of the book, Sacred Art, Every Catholic Should Know. You can go to tanbooks.com to purchase yours or support our local Catholic bookstore. Good morning. Thank you so much, Dr. Sullivan, for being with us today. I love talking about sacred art and learning a little bit more about these wonderful images. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me, Gabby.
I love the interview so much, I wanted to start it over. So
it's a beautiful book. I've been thumbing through it during the whole interview. And as she's describing the paintings, I'm looking at them. So it's just amazing. And she has a wonderful description by each one. So recommend it.
Yes.
Very nice.
Highly recommend it as well.
Okay. Well, it's almost time to wrap up. So let's do that with a prayer. Again, another prayer to our guardian angel. Holy angel of God, my holy guardian, given to me from heaven, enlighten me this day and save me from all evil. Instruct me in doing good deeds and set me on the path of salvation. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time for day one of our Fall Pledge Drive. Please consider donating to keep our radio station in on the air locally. Have a wonderful Monday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.